RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Have you heard of chlorpyrifos? Have you? I'll tell you what it is. It's a broad-spectrum organophosphate insecticide widely used in food crop agriculture and against termites, and it's used here. And we're talking now to Alison White, co-convener of Safe Food Campaign. Welcome, Alison. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
To talk about why the government needs to urgently reassess and ban a brain-damaging insecticide and promote a petition. New Zealand children are exposed to high levels of it compared to other countries. Where have you heard that before? Alison, how dangerous is chlorpyrifos?
Of the organophosphates that are still registered in New Zealand, it's probably the worst. Well, I think it is the worst because of the fact that it's well known through over 20,000 studies to cause damage to brains, especially children's brains.
And you have generated a petition, correct, to try and knock it out. Tell us about that and how's it going?
Well, we presented the petition to Parliament in February last year, and this coming Thursday, I've been offered the opportunity to make an oral submission on it. So that's really great to have that opportunity to show a bit more people, to make more people aware of the dangers of this particular insecticide and why it should be banned.
Where is it not used overseas? And why are we different, do you think?
Well, it's not used in the UK, in the US for some things, most things, for food crops for sure. The 27 countries in the European Union, and where else? It's quite a list.
How come we're still, you would have noticed I said, here we go again, or we're getting used to this or something in the intro. Seems that New Zealand is slow to respond to, you know, chemicals that are known to be harmful. You know, there's fluoride, there's 2,4,5-T, there's glyphosate, there's chlorpyrifos. We seem to be quite good at going slow and waking up to the dangers of these chemicals and these formulations. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a combination of reasons. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency in New Zealand, has a system that doesn't easily get rid of pesticides when they need to be got rid of.
Right.
Because before you do something about a pesticide, first of all, unless somebody else is paying for it, which doesn't happen very often when a pesticide is really bad, it's what we call the CEO or Chief Executive Officer's initiated reassessment. And this is what the EPA, our Environmental Protection Agency in New Zealand, has been doing, putting pesticides on the reassessment list, and they have to go through quite a few obstacles to just get a pesticide put on the reassessment list. And then to actually do something about it requires another lot of obstacles to go. The chief one among them, I think, is money. So if the budget of the EPA is constrained, then they're only going to look at one or two pesticides, reassess them every year if we're lucky. And so it goes on. It goes on for years and years. And before they can progress further on getting rid of this insecticide, chlorpyrifos, they have to notify the growers and the users and the manufacturers and get everybody's comments in and so on. If we do something about it, what do you think? And so they've got to go through that whole process. In other words, a chemical has to be well and truly found guilty innocence is assumed until it's well and truly found guilty before something is done about it. Now, at the present rate of going, we might be lucky to get chlorpyrifos banned perhaps in the 2030s at a rough guess.
What? That's ages away.
It was put on the reassessment list in 2020. And at the time, the Environmental Protection Agency put out a media release saying, we're very pleased to put this on, et cetera, and we're going to get something done about it in 2020. The first step will begin in 2021. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. And in the meantime, other pesticides on the reassessment list have been given dates for the next stage to begin. But in the meantime, it just says on their website, in review. In other words, for the Environmental Protection Agency, chlorpyrifos is not a priority.
What do we know about its damaging effects?
We know lots about its damaging effects. You've only got to type in, if you go into Google Scholar, for example, and type in chlorpyrifos and health effects, you'll probably come up with, I mean, in 2004, Colburn, an independent scientist, did an assessment on chlorpyrifos. And at that stage, she found over 20,000 studies on chlorpyrifos having adverse effects. It's been that many. And that was in 2004. And where are we now? We're 2024.
EPA must be aware of those studies, surely.
You'd think that. My esteemed former colleague, Dr. Muriel Watts, did a very comprehensive assessment in 2012 on not just chlorpyrifos, but a lot of the organophosphates, because at that stage in 2012, to save time and effort, the EPA decided, right, let's group them together as a class, the organophosphates, it's a type of insecticide, and save a bit of time and money, which sounds great. So they did that in 2012. Muriel made a very good submission and pointed out particularly the dangers of chlorpyrifos. I think it was 2015 or 2016, they may have initiated the process in 2015, they put out a very limited instruction to some experts to do an assessment for them just on flea collars and vets' use of it. So they cut down that aspect of it, but they didn't look at anything else. And it appears from reading that review in 2016 that the so-called experts didn't read very much on the damage to humans, and there's plenty of it out there. So I sometimes doubt whether the EPA does enough reading of independent studies. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, but that's their job, isn't it? So too bad if it's costs money. You're pressed for time. That's what these people sign up for. Because I see the United Nations International Review Committee classified it as a persistent organic pollutant only in 2022 because of its persistence, bioaccumulation, potential for long-range environmental transport and adverse effects, particularly, here we go again, on young children at low levels. Now, this comes through the food supply, doesn't it?
That's right. And in New Zealand, it has been found in a wide range of food. Do you want me to list some of the food?
Well, I think it'd be useful for the listeners for sure. Yep.
Okay. So in the total diet study that was done in 2016, where they looked at 8 samples of each food item, so it's not much to go on, but it's something. It was found in raisins, sultanas, peanut butter, anything containing wheat, frozen mixed berries, grapes, tomatoes, avocados, pears, mandarins, a range of summer fruit generally, broccoli, various green vegetables, and baby food. Now, some of that baby goes food. Up to earlier times. And that's because it's found so much in summer fruit, such as strawberries and raspberries and, nectarines, apricots, peaches, cherries. There's a range of fruit that it's found in.
Hard to escape if you're a fruit lover, by the sounds of things.
Yeah. One of the complications is that the breakdown product of chlorpyrifos is also a breakdown product of chlorpyrifos methyl, and not so much is known about chlorpyrifos methyl. It's a sister chemical, but we don't know as much about it. Now, chlorpyrifos methyl is not used in New Zealand, but it is used plentifully in Australia, and we get lots of wheat from Australia. So the wheat from Australia is likely to have chlorpyrifos methyl in it, and this certainly showed up with my analysis of the total diet study that was published in 2016. So it's found in a wide range of food, in other words, and food that children are much more likely to eat.
Yeah,
and
baby food.
Are more at risk than adults for several reasons. One is that they tend to eat more food in proportion to their body weight than adults do, so they take in more of it. And the other thing is that they tend to eat the food that's more heavily sprayed, like fruit.
Yeah. Gosh. The only way to avoid is what? Is go organic.
That's right. Now, I know that people will say, what? That's expensive. I haven't got money for that, especially with interest rates being high and rents being high and so on. But I like to tell the story that I survived for 10 years on the widow's benefit supporting four kids.
Good on you.
And I still managed to buy organic food, and that's because I know a lot about pesticides and food, and that gave me motivation. And so my argument here is that if you are motivated to buy organic food, you will do it. If you understand why it's so important for you to do so. And while this dangerous pesticide is in our food, especially food that's given to children quite commonly, it is really good if you as a parent can give your young child that those foods organically.
Yep.
And in New Zealand, I've done a lot of research on various editions of what we call the Dirty Dozen, which is a food available in New Zealand that's more likely to have pesticide residues in it. And I compile this from enough number of different government surveys, which I've mentioned, the Total Diet Study, but also the food residue surveillance programs. And then there was one study that's come out so far looking specifically at baby food. And so I rate these foods according to the number of pesticides found in them and also the proportion that have residues, pesticide residues detected. And you want to know what's at the top of the list?
Yeah, tell me. Of course I do.
Grapes.
Oh, crikey. Really?
And if you go into a supermarket in New Zealand, you, quite commonly you'll see grapes all imported.
Yep, I have. Yep, I know exactly what you're saying. Yes. It was only a few days ago I was in the supermarket picking up fruit and vegetables, and that list you went through before, some of those were on that list. There's no, that I can recall, unless I'm missing something, there's no information that tells me what they've been sprayed with and what those chemicals are. And I'm thinking that should be on a big screen. so everyone can see. Because I don't like being, I mean, I just assume everything's kind of all right. And, you know, those foods are sort of generally seen as healthy and, you know, basic food items can't go wrong. But actually, now you've just got me thinking, we're all ignorant.
A lot of people sort of assume that if it's for sale, the government's okayed it and then it's okay, so we don't need to worry about it further. Mm-hmm. But of course, we can't usually see pesticides. They're a bit invisible. So that's one thing. They're not like additives. At least you've got a label with additives, but we don't have the luxury of that. These grapes have been sprayed with XYZ.
Well, at least you'd be informed. And I'm wondering, can you wash this stuff off?
That's a good question. It depends a lot. There have been some studies that show that if you have a mixture, one to three of vinegar and fresh water, and let the thing soak, let the whatever it is, celery stalk or grapes soak for about 20 minutes, and then you wash it all off, that will reduce some pesticides. If you bind a conventional produce, non-organic produce, especially fruit and vegetables, it always pays at the very minimum to wash it first.
Yeah. Organic fruit and vegetables sort of every now and then do that. I've got to say they're not that much, if you shop around, they're not that much more expensive and you can kind of get specials and stuff. So you can navigate through that, can't you?
You can. In Wellington, for example, in Auckland, there's a store called an organic store called Common Sense. And if you buy stuff in season and they often have specials on, then it's going to be a bit cheaper and may even be cheaper than its conventional counterpart. So it does pay to shop in season. Buy what you can get in season. The other thing that you can do is go to your local farmer's market. Farmer's markets around the country vary a lot, but some farmer's markets make it very local, so what they sell has to come from no more than a certain distance away. And if you buy stuff in season from your local farmer's market, that's a step in the right direction. And avoiding imported fruit, especially fruit that you can't peel.
Which means you have to be aware of where it came from. So you need to be on the lookout, right? You need to have a sharp eye on it.
Yeah. Fortunately now we have the rule that point of sale should state where something comes from, country of origin labelling, and if it doesn't, you should ask.
Yeah. The petition, what are your hopes for that?
Well, the EPA in New Zealand is going to say, well, we're reassessing it, go back to sleep, everybody, trust us, we're the experts.
We've heard that before. Didn't work out so well. Just
But what... what we're asking for is two things. One is that under Section 64A of the HasNo Act, that an immediate regulation could be applied, a temporary ban on its use while it has been reassessed.
Yeah, that's logical.
So that's one thing that we hope for.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we hope for, which may be a bit surprising if this happens with our present government, is for EPA to be given more money so that they can more urgently reassess chlorpyrifos. So those are two things that we hope will happen. I mean, you have to remember the international action for this. In 2016, for example, the Environmental Protection Agency in the United States published a report which concluded that chlorpyrifos residues in food are not acceptable for all populations.
Right.
Yeah. They did that in 2016. So why hasn't our EPA in New Zealand done anything further about it?
Pressure.
Yeah. And there's also the sociological aspect that institutions tend to be resistant to change. They don't want to change what they're doing. They want to keep things the same. And people are like this too. But in the meantime, if it poisons people and poisons your child's body, that's too bad.
Yeah. Oh, well.
One of the problems, which I hope to be talking about on Thursday, one of the problems with the EPA risk assessment is that it's essentially very subjective.
Yeah.
So they weigh up possible benefits. It'll kill insect X, Y, and Z benefit against harm to the children's brains. Now, they don't put it like that. What they do is, it's below the maximum residue limit, so we assume it to be safe. The problem is that the way they get that maximum residue limit is all it's guesswork. And they try to say that it's scientific and we can justify this and that. For a start, there are many things that they don't measure. In New Zealand, we don't have yet any measure for what we call endocrine disruption. And what an endocrine disruptor is, a substance that interferes with the hormones in the body. So there's nothing on that. We don't have any measure for whether something suppresses the immune system. And there are a number of pesticides.
You just talked about two things. There is something that is suppressing the immune system we know about, and there is something that's allowing all sorts of hormones to be pumped at the kids. See, this is New Zealand. This is what we do. This is what we do.
It's an international phenomenon, though, to be fair.
But we're really good at it. We're really good at it, I feel. Look, if people want to find out more, Alison, you're co-convener of the Safe Food Campaign. Is there somewhere to go so they can find out about chlorpyrifos and what you're doing and your efforts? Where is that?
So it's on our website, safefood.org.nz. And you can also look on our Facebook page, Safe Food NZ. Okay. So those are two sources of information. We have a short version of the petition, the written submission that we did, and also the longer version with all the references. So if you're interested in finding out more, getting some references for this and that of what I've spoken about today, you can go and do that from our website.
Well, thank you for coming on RCR and explaining that. I've learned a few things for sure. I'm going to be a lot more wary now, I tell you, a lot more wary. Kind of woken up on that one. Thanks for the work you do, and good luck with your efforts. Okay?
Thank you, Paul. Great to have the opportunity.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.